Amy tried the door and found it unlocked. She stepped in, started to call for Mort, and then didn't. She looked around, wide-eyed and startled. The place was a mess. The trash can was full and had overflowed onto the floor. A few sluggish autumn flies were crawling in and out of an aluminum pot pie dish that had been kicked into the corner. She could smell stale cooking and musty air. She thought she could even smell spoiled food. Mort? There was no answer. She walked further into the house, taking small steps, not entirely sure she wanted to look at the rest of the place. Mrs. Gavin had been in only 3 days ago. How had things gotten so out of hand since then? What had happened? She had been worried about Mort during the entire last year of their marriage, but she had been even more worried since the divorce. Worried, and of course, guilty. She held part of the blame for herself and supposed she always would. But Mort had never been strong, and his greatest weakness was his stubborn and sometimes almost hysterical refusal to recognize the fact. This morning he had sounded like a man on the point of suicide, and the only reason she had heeded his admonition not to bring Ted was because she thought the sight of him might set Mort off if he really was poised on the edge of such an act. The thought of murder had never crossed her mind, nor did it do so now. Even when he had brandished the gun at them that horrible afternoon at the motel, she had not been afraid. Not of that. Mort was no killer. Mort? She came around the kitchen counter and the word died. She stared at the big living room with wide, stunned eyes. Paper was littered everywhere. It looked as if Mort must at some point have exhumed every copy of every manuscript he had in his desk drawers and in his files and strewn the pages about in here like confetti at some black New Year's Eve celebration. The table was heaped with dirty dishes. The Silex was lying shattered on the floor by the window wall, which was cracked. And everywhere, everywhere, everywhere was one word. The word was shooter. Shooter had been written on the walls in colored chalks he must have taken from her drawer of art supplies. Shooter was sprayed on the window twice in what looked like dried whipped cream. And yes, there was a ready-whip pressure can lying discarded under the stove. Shooter was written over and over on the kitchen counters in ink and on the wooden support post of the deck on the far side of the house in pencil. A neat column-like adding that went down in a straight line and said shooter, 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 shooter. Worst of all, it had been carved into the polished cherrywood surface of the table in great jagged letters 3 feet high, like a grotesque declaration of love. Shooter. The screwdriver he had used to do this was lying on a chair nearby. There was red stuff on its steel shaft, stained from the cherrywood, she assumed. Mort, she whispered, looking around. Now, she was frightened that she would find him dead by his own hand. And where? Why, in the study, of course. Where else? He had lived all the most important parts of his life in there. Surely he had chosen to die there. Although she had no wish to go in, no wish to be the one to find him. Her feet carried her in that direction all the same. As she went, she kicked the issue of EQMM Herb Creekmore had had sent out of her way. She did not look down. She reached the study door and pushed it slowly open. Mort stood in front of his old Royal typewriter. The screen and keyboard unit of his word processor lay overturned in a bouquet of glass on the floor. He looked strangely like a country preacher. It was partly the posture he had adopted, she supposed. He was standing almost primly with his hands behind his back. But most of it was the hat. The black hat, pulled down so it almost touched the tops of his ears. She thought he looked a little bit like the old man in that picture, American Gothic, even though the man in the picture wasn't wearing a hat. Mort? She asked. Her voice was weak and uncertain. He made no reply, only stared at her. His eyes were grim and glittering. She had never seen Mort's eyes look this way. Not even on the horrible afternoon at the motel. It was almost as if this was not Mort at all, but some stranger who looked like Mort. She recognized the hat, though. Where did you find that old thing? The attic? Her heartbeat was in her voice, making it stagger. He must have found it in the attic. The smell of mothballs on it was strong, even from where she was standing. Mort had gotten the hat years ago at a gift shop in Pennsylvania. They had been traveling through Amish country. She had kept a little garden at the dairy house, in the angle where the house and the study addition met. It was her garden, but Mort often went out to weed it when he was stuck for an idea. He usually wore the hat when he did this. He called it his thinking cap. She remembered him looking at himself in a mirror once when he was wearing it, and joking that he ought to have a book jacket photo taken in it. "When I put this on," he'd said, "I look like a man who belongs out in the North 40 walking plow furrows behind a mule's ass." Then the hat had disappeared. It must have migrated down here and been stored, but it's my hat, he said at last in a rusty, bemused voice. Wasn't ever anybody else's. Mort, what's wrong? You got a wrong number, woman. Ain't no Mort here. Mort's dead. The gimlet eyes never wavered. He did a lot of squirming around, but in the end he couldn't lie to himself anymore, let alone to me. I never put a hand on him, Miss Rainey. I swear. It took the coward's way out. Why are you talking that way? Amy asked. This is just the way I talk, he said with mild surprise. Everybody down in Mississippi talks this way. Mort, stop! Don't you understand what I said? He asked. You ain't deaf, are you? He's dead. He killed himself. Stop it, Mort, she said, beginning to cry. You're scaring me, and I don't like it. Don't matter, he said. He took his hands out from behind his back. In one of them, he held the scissors from the top drawer of the desk. He raised them. The sun had come out, and it sent a star flash glitter along the blades as he snicked them open and then closed. You won't be scared long. He began walking toward her. For a moment, she stood where she was. Mort would not kill her. If there had been killing in Mort, then surely he would have done some that day at the motel. Then she saw the look in his eyes and understood that Mort knew that too. But this wasn't him. She screamed and wheeled around and lunged for the door. Shooter came after her, bringing the scissors down in a silver arc. He would have buried them up to the handles between her shoulder blades if his feet had not slid on the papers scattered about the hardwood floor. He fell full length with a cry of mingled perplexity and anger. The blade stabbed down through page 9 of Secret Window, Secret Garden, and the tips broke off. His mouth struck the floor and sprayed blood. The package of Paul Mall's, the brand John Kintner had silently smoked during the breaks halfway through the writing class he and Mort Rainey had shared, shot out of his pocket and slid along the slick wood like the weight in a barroom shuffleboard game. He got up on his knees, his mouth snarling and smiling through the blood which ran over his lips and teeth. "Won't do you no help, Miss Rainey," he cried, getting to his feet. He looked at the scissors, snicked them open to study the blunted tips a little better, and then tossed them impatiently aside. "I got a place in the garden for you. I got it all picked out. You mind me now?" He ran out the door after her. Halfway across the living room, Amy took her own spill. One of her feet came down on the discarded issue of EQMM, and she fell sprawling on her side, hurting her hip and right breast. She cried out. Behind her, Shooter ran across to the table and snatched up the screwdriver he had used on the cat. "Stay right there and be still," he said as she turned over on her back and stared at him with wide eyes which looked almost drugged. "If you move around, I'm only going to hurt you before it's over. I don't want to hurt you, missus. But I will if I have to. I've got to have something, you see. I have come all this way, and I've got to have something for my trouble." As he approached, Amy propped herself up on her elbows and shoved herself backward with her feet. Her hair hung in her face. Her skin was coated with sweat. She could smell it pouring out of her, hot and stinking. The face above her was the solemn, judgmental face of insanity.
"No, Mark, please! Please, Mort!"
He flung himself at her, raising the screwdriver over his head and then bringing it down.
Amy shrieked and rolled to the left. Pain burned a line across her hip as the screwdriver blade tore her dress and grooved her flesh. Then she was scrambling to her knees, hearing and feeling the dress shred out a long, unwinding strip as she did it.
"No, ma'am," Shooter panted, his hand closed upon her ankle. "No, ma'am."
She looked over her shoulder and through the tangles of her hair and saw he was using his other hand to work the screwdriver out of the floor. The round-crowned black hat sat askew on his head. He yanked the screwdriver free and drove it into her right calf. The pain was horrid. The pain was the whole world. She screamed and kicked backward, connecting with his nose, breaking it. Shooter grunted and fell on his side, clutching at his face, and Amy got to her feet. She could hear a woman howling. It sounded like a dog howling at the moon. She supposed it wasn't a dog. She supposed it was her. Shooter was getting to his feet. His lower face was a mask of blood. The mask split open, showing Mort Rainey's crooked front teeth. She could remember licking across those teeth with her tongue.
"Feisty one, ain't you?" he said, grinning. "That's all right, ma'am. You go right on."
He lunged for her. Amy staggered backward. The screwdriver fell out of her calf and rolled across the floor. Shooter glanced at it, then lunged at her again, almost playfully. Amy grabbed one of the living room chairs and dumped it in front of him. For a moment, they only stared at each other over it. And then he snatched for the front of her dress. Amy recoiled.
"I'm about done fussing with you," he panted.
Amy turned and bolted for the door. He was after her at once, flailing at her back, his fingertips skating and skidding down the nape of her neck, trying to close on the top of the dress, catching it, then just missing the hold which would have coiled her back to him for good. Amy bolted past the kitchen counter and toward the back door. Her right loafer squelched and smooched on her foot. It was full of blood. Shooter was after her, puffing and blowing bubbles of blood from his nostrils, clutching at her. She struck the screen door with her hands, then tripped and fell full length on the porch, her breath whooshing out of her. She fell exactly where Shooter had left his manuscript. She rolled over and saw him coming. He only had his bare hands now, but they looked like they would be more than enough. His eyes were stern and unflinching and horribly kind beneath the brim of the black hat.
"I'm so sorry, Mrs.," he said.
"Rainey!" a voice cried out. "Stop!" She tried to look around and could not. She had strained something in her neck. Shooter never even tried. He simply came on toward her. "Rainey! Stop!"
"There is no rainy hit,"
Shooter began, and then a gunshot rapped briskly across the fall air. Shooter stopped where he was and looked curiously, almost casually, down at his chest. There was a small hole there. No blood issued from it, at least not at first, but the hole was there. He put his hand to it, then brought it away. His index finger was marked by a small dot of blood. It looked like a bit of punctuation, the period which ends a sentence. He looked at this thoughtfully. Then he dropped his hands and looked at Amy. "Babe?" he asked, and then fell full length beside her on the porch boards. She rolled over, managed to get up on her elbows, and crawled to where he lay, beginning to sob.
"Mort," she cried. "Mort, please.
Mort, try to say something." But he was not going to say anything. And after a moment, she let this realization fill her up. She would reject the simple fact of his death again and again over the next few weeks and months, and would then weaken. And the realization would fill her up again. He was dead. He was dead. He had gone crazy down here. And he was dead. He and whoever had been inside him at the end. She put her head down on his chest and wept. And when someone came up behind her and put a comforting hand on her shoulder, Amy did not look around.